Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1. So I'll give you the title of the sermon, but I want to stare right at the person with the name. The title is Happy Hannah. Happy Hannah. She fits that description. So before I read, I want to say this as well. Just put a little promotion in for this evening service. I'm excited about this evening service. I will not be preaching about Elisha this evening. In my Bible reading this week, the Lord touched my heart about a passage. I almost preached it this morning, but I weighed them in the balances, and this is the one for this morning. But this evening is really for people who need to hear from God. I mean, you need to hear from God. And being able to discern that voice. So if that's you, well, come on back here 6 o'clock tonight. If you absolutely can't make it, it'll be live streamed and all of that. But you get more out of it when you're here. Well, if you're able to stand, we like to honor God's word. If you are able to stand, if you will stand with us, we will read verse 10 all the way to verse 18. Verse 10 all the way to verse 18. Those of you who are visiting, we are so grateful you came to be with us. Really appreciate you coming in. I know you came for your mom. But hallelujah. That's awesome. Or grandma, or whatever the case may be. So, verse 10, the Bible says, "And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head." Now, I don't recommend that today. Good old haircut's not going to hurt you. It was a Nazarite vow is what she was doing here. She was, that's a whole other subject, but she was going to raise him to be a Nazarite, and they were holy men of God. Verse 12, "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." Typical men. They can't understand women. Always misunderstanding women. So, verse 14, "And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said," this is in the Greek, "Oh, sorry." I'm teasing. It says go in peace, but I'm sure after his mistake he caught it. "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So if you came in sad today, I really hope we can escort you out no more sad. Hopefully you could be a happy Hannah. And even you fellas, it's good to have a smile on your face. And Hannah has something to teach us as well. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, bless the service, minister to our hearts. Thank you for the Word of God. And may it provide instruction through the life of Hannah. You have recorded it for our benefit. And we pray that through this, our faith would be strengthened and you would be glorified. We also ask that if there are any in the house that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, that your Holy Spirit would touch them and help them to see their need. And I pray that they would make a decision to trust you personally before the day would end. We ask that you'd bless the music. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer. That is fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, there you are. I didn't know if you were playing the piano during that. I peeked over. I thought I didn't see you there. All right. Well, we're going to be back in 1 Samuel here. If you want to take a quick, keep it open. Keep your Bible open. We're going to do something unusual here this morning compared to a lot of places that meet on Sunday. We're actually going to use our Bible. I just thought it'd be a novel thing. We're going to kind of just read and preach and read some more and preach some more out of the Bible. Let's let God's Word do the talking. You can discard my opinions any way you want. I don't care. I do appreciate you being here, and I certainly want to be a blessing. I want the church to be a blessing to you. But I know the answer. It's not me. It's not this building. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the story we just read, the scriptures we just read, just to give you a quick backdrop here, let me see if that's on. Oh, that means I have liberty to leave the pulpit. Freedom! I can move over here now and say hello to April. We actually got a match. So, in that story, you're going to notice, if you can remember, so much has taken place since I read those scriptures to now. But if you can remember, Hannah seemed kind of miserable. If you caught that in the reading, she was in bitterness, afflicted, grievous. I think those three words are all within those some nine verses that we read, or eight verses. She was not happy. She was extremely heavy-hearted, and she prays and she's burdened because she can't have children. And apparently she wants a man-child. Now, God gave us two lady-childs. And I love them dearly. One of them's with us and the other one is in Pensacola. Her husband took her away from us. And I am so grateful God gave us these girls. One of the reasons that she would ask for a man child, not just because she was biased, because she's a female herself. No, you see, the Jews understood that the Messiah was going to come through them as a people. And one of the desires of every lady, most ladies that were Jew, Hebrew, was that they would be the mother of the Messiah. And so it was not unusual to pray for a man child. You all understand that? Okay, and so she prays and she makes a vow. But what I want to do, rather than get into my actual sermon now, I want to kind of introduce it correctly. I want to tell you that whether you are a mother, a father, a single person, it doesn't matter. The life of Hannah is a testimony and example for everybody in the room of godly character, And there are three things I want to point out about her life that brought the blessing of God on her life, because God did bless her. You notice that last verse we read about her in verse 18? It said, and her countenance was no more what? Okay, just want to make sure we're reading the same book. Her countenance was no more sad. So if I could visualize it, it was no more like that. It would, it'd be like, it's probably not that weird, but this simply means she was happy. It meant that she felt good. She inside, she had hope. And hope will produce happiness. People need hope. God offers hope. If they don't get it, it's not because God's not offering it. And so let me point out three things about Hannah, because Hannah went from a person who was very bitter of soul. And by the way, it doesn't matter what would bring it about, but there are circumstances and events and situations that can make somebody burdened and bitter of soul. But she went from that condition emotionally to being happy Hannah. But she went even farther than that. God literally, tangibly honored her prayer and blessed her. Well, I'd like that. I'd like some of that. So let's just look at a few things. God's Word is for us to learn these things. The first thing I'll point out is her faith. Her faith. Her faith in the time of her crisis. You see, we reveal a lot about ourselves by the way we handle crises and bitterness and heavy-heartedness. Some people turn to alcohol. Hello? Or narcotics. And I'm not as much opposed to this one. Food! But those are not the answers. They're not the real answers. Her faith is revealed in crisis because where does she turn? She turns to the Lord. That's where she turns. And when I say the Lord, I'm talking about the God of the Bible. She turns to the God who wrote and inspired the Word that we hold in our hands. That's where she turned. That's important. The Bible tells us without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to Him must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God says, when you turn your faith to Me in your time of crises, and you... Here, can I borrow you for a second? Just borrow you. I hate to interrupt, we're going to call... Let's look at this chair. We're going to call this chair Jesus, the Lord. We're going to call this alcohol, and this one here narcotics, and this one here food. We're going to call this one here going in debt, because sometimes people think that's the answer. I just got to go buy stuff. That's going to help me. But the creditor's coming. And those aren't the real answers. There's one answer. Which one was the Lord? Right here. Right? That. You're going through bitterness, so get the smile off your face.
Okay.
So he's sad. I got to turn him this way, okay? He's sad. You got to make a choice. And some people, they go to the alcohol. They go to the, I forget the names of all of them. But she went right there. How did she do that? She prayed unto the Lord. Where do you turn in your time of crises? Listen, that's the first step of pleasing the Lord. We can't even please God without having faith in Him. I can't put a smile on God's face until I have faith in Him. It all starts right there. And she did that. She was heavy-hearted. She was grieved. But she pressed upon him and leaned upon him. I can see the creases in our Lord's face opening up. Because he can't, you know, God loves to show himself mighty. And God loves to reveal himself to us, but he can't do it personally until we put it all on him. Because when we do, then we see, then we know it's God that did the work. So her faith is revealed there. It's revealed in her prayer. Look at verse 11, or verse 10, 11 again. It says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, I got to make a statement about this wept sore stuff. I got to make a statement. Psalms 126 tells us that they that sow in tears, will reap in joy. And if you've ever prayed over something and wept over it, I'm here to tell you there's a God in heaven. The Bible, David said, he keeps all our tears in a bottle. And I believe those are the tears that are brought before him. I believe in heaven we're going to see bottles of tears from people that wept for us. And so the Lord honors these tears. So she's weeping. And then verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will what? How many of you guys have your Bible? We're using the Bible, not the Reader's Digest. I want to make sure we do use the Bible here, actually, more than just this Sunday. Every service. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Okay. I want answers to prayer. I want to know how to get over this great grief. I'm not a woman, but I go through affliction, you know, and you sometimes our emotions get tested. And God, I need help. And listen, where I turn to in this time of bitterness of soul is very important, very revealing, and also makes a difference in lasting help. And so, number one, you got to have faith to lean on the Lord. And then number two, oh, if it's bad, you pour it out to the Lord. You pour it out to him. But listen, number three, what she did here with her faith, she's willing to make a commitment before the Lord that if God, if you will provide me a child, I'll give him back to you. So I want to think about this for just a second. Can I stand on this? Yeah. This was narcotics anyways, wasn't it? Or alcohol. So I'm going to stand on alcohol. I want to think about this. So I lost my train of thought. Stand up there. I got to start over. That's not good. I got to look at you again and get back to where I was at. Commit. Yes. Okay. If we want to have answers to prayer, and we want to see God do something real in our life, I ask you this. How willing are you to give him the glory, give it back to him? You know, James said, you have not because ye ask not, and ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. It's like James knew that people would be praying for the lottery. Well, God, let me win the lottery, and I'll give you a tithe like he needs it. No. Her prayer, Lord, give me a child and I will give him to you. I will raise him and I will give him back to you. That's serious stuff there. By the way, that's kind of like this. Hey, Dad, if you give me a power washer, I will wash your house. That's going to get an ear anyways. I'd be considering that. If my daughter would say, Dad, if you give me a power washer, I will wash your car and your house. I honestly would consider that. Matter of fact, you don't have to be my daughter if you would do that. So, but what we have here is Hannah is willing. She wants to honor the Lord. Her heart is empty because she's unable to have children. She prays that God would bless her, and she makes this commitment, this promise before. That means a lot. Have you ever made a promise to God? Have you ever made a promise to God? And by the way, if God kept his part, it's up to you to keep yours. And so we move on here as we consider her faith. We move on down. We look down to, we're going to read all down to verse 18 again. So Eli gets things right in his head. She's clarified what's going on. Eli, by the way, is the high priest. He's the man of God in the narration. Verse 18, and she says to Eli, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. You know, it's amazing how exercise faith can produce positive emotions. Did you get that? You act in faith, and then you feel good about it. Some people, they want to wait to feel good to act in faith. But you need God all the time. She has this assurance. She gets this promise from the Lord through Eli that she's going to have a child. Now, this is important for you to get. She doesn't have a baby. She's not even pregnant. All she receives is his word. That's it. But the word was sufficient, and she walks away no more sad. She's affected by the promise of God to her now. No more, it made her happy. She hasn't even got an answer to prayer yet, but it made her happy. I want to say something about salvation. Those of you who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just got a quick question. Do you remember the day you did that? Do you remember? Because it is personal. You don't get in by proxy. It's personal. And the reason it's personal, the reason I ask if you remember the day, because I know people's experiences vary, but there is an experience when it comes to salvation. Because Jesus even told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you ask any woman who's given birth, that's an experience. Now, so being born again, being made a child of God is a real, inward, upward experience that we shouldn't forget. We receive Christ, and the Bible says, according to Romans 8:16, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You're in the family. You're sons of God. If you receive Christ, and by the way, all it is an assurance from the Lord, His Word, and His Spirit. But we're not actually in heaven yet, are we? We're still here. But you know what? I've seen people get pretty happy about being saved. Why? Because they believe the promise of God. They believe the work of God, and they've experienced the work of God in their own heart, and that's exactly what happened to Hannah. And she walks away no more sad. And by the way, it's like, I believe you. That's even more faith, more confidence than the promises of God. And God honors faith. He honors faith. The Christian life is all about faith. But faith in what? Faith in His Word. His Word. Next, we got to move on to her character. We're running out of time here. Her faith, her character. So what does the Lord do? Look at verse 19 and 20. It says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, verse 20, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a what? All right, sounds like we're reading the same book. She bare a son and called his name Saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The name Samuel means I have asked him of the Lord. God now specifically answers her prayer. And she gives him a name to remind her who gave him life. But wait a minute, now something's going to happen because God kept his promise, did he not? Well, three or four of you got it. Did God keep his promise? Yeah, he did. Now, it wasn't like Burger King. She didn't just go through and all of a sudden got a baby. No, no, she had to have some time and all of that. But God kept his promise. Now, here's where we see the character. The character. Because, you know, people can get saved with bad character. I mean, there are people that I wouldn't trust with my pocketbook, let alone watching my kids and all of that, but they can still be saved. But this lady, because God is concerned about her character, this lady receives this blessing from God, and she made a promise, and now what's she going to do? Well, let's read on. What does she do here? Okay, so I want us to look down to verse 27 and 28. I just need to skip some verses. Verse 27. So she goes back to the man of God. Samuel is a little bit older. She has weaned him off herself. He can now eat on his own. That's what that means. But he's just a little tyke. He's just a little tyke. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He should be lent to the Lord. Stop there. Okay, you're going to be baby Samuel. I was going to pick you up, but I'm having second thoughts. So little Samuel here, he can now eat on his own. Can you eat on your own?
I think so.
Okay, good. And so we take in Hannah and her husband, because I'm sure she told her husband, you know, God has given me this baby, but I promised God I'd give him back. So she takes her little boy. We're going to call this chair here Eli. Well, his house. We're going to sit you down there. You just behave yourself. He's no more sad either. Matter of fact, he wasn't sad at all. He was, even though I woke him from his slumber. So Samuel is at Eli's house. You need to visualize this. Hannah is going to leave him there. And it's not like they live a mile down the road. It's not like they live 10 miles down the road. It's not like they live 50 miles down the road. And by the way, even if they did, they didn't have the vehicles and the transportation you and I had. I mean, they're going a good ways back to their community. I mean, like, it could have been a couple hundred miles. Can you imagine a mother doing that? She's leaving her little boy, her only child, the child that God gave her to the Lord. Now, that's going to be sad. That's going to have an effect, but she's not that way. First of all, I need to say this. She kept her word, did she not? God kept his word, and she kept her word. That's exactly what has transpired. So we see, by the way, good character keeps its word. People with good character value their word. They say they're going to be there, they're there. And if they're not, they give you a reason, a good one. They call and they do whatever they can to make things right. People with character are very, very, very concerned about keeping their word, like, till death do us part. Hello? People with good character believe in their word. And by the way, your words reveal your character. The promises you make reveal much about our character. And she kept her word. And by the way, if you keep your word with God, you'll probably keep your word with men. And if you keep your word with men, there's a good chance you'll keep your word with God. She kept her word. But we got to look at one more thing here. Almost done. Verse 28 again. So she walks away, and can you kneel down like you're praying on that? Okay. Yeah, just face that way. Yeah, that's right. Thanks. Verse 28, look at it again. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And the Bible says, and she worshiped the Lord there. What's your Bible say? He. Who do you reckon that's talking about? It's not talking about Eli. And it's not talking about Elkanah. And it's not talking about Hannah, because she's not a he. That's talking about the little fella. Now, here's what you got to get, moms. This is what you got to get. This is awesome. Thank you, buddy. You can go back to your seat. I appreciate you. Hey, this is what you got to get. You big showboat. Listen, I know. I know it's exciting to be able to eat on your own. So, this is what we've got to grasp here. How did that boy learn that? Where did he learn that? Oh, I know where he learned it. Disney. You know they're teaching your children how to worship God. No. He learned it in the public school system. I'm sure the science class taught him how to worship God. No. They took a field trip to the Creation Museum, and that's where he learned it. He learned it there. Yeah. Come on, we all know where he learned it. Mama taught him. Mama taught that little boy to worship. The word worship means to bend the knee, to bow. That's what it means. That little tyke, can you imagine that? I think one of the most sweetest things in the world is to watch a little feller, 2-3 years old, pray. Or a little girl, 2 or 3 years old, pray. You don't have to convince them there's a God. Just say, talk to God. He's listening. Childlike faith. You become adult, you get all mixed up. These kids, just tell them, he's listening. Little Samuel is worshiping the Lord. Mama taught him that, and Daddy taught him that. And Mom and Dad, listen, the sooner you teach your children to do that, the better. The best thing you will ever do for your children is to let them know there's a God in heaven that they're going to meet one day. The greatest thing my mother ever did for me, the greatest thing she ever did for me, and she's done a lot of things for me. But the greatest thing she ever did for me was, I remember, she taught me to pray. We lived in a trailer up in northern Michigan, and I remember she coming to the bedroom, and she said, all right, we need to kneel down and pray. So I did. And I'd do anything to stay up later. I didn't want to, so I'm like, all right. And so she said, say this, 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 and I did. And I remember after that developing the habit, because she would say, God bless mommy and daddy and all that. I remember as a kid, I remember this. I remember thinking, well, if God can bless mommy and daddy, can't he bless some more people? And I remember my brain thinking, Lord, God bless the whole world. Bless everybody. Just want to pray for everybody. Put a little bit of it on everybody. I didn't know. I'm a little country kid from northern Michigan. I never doubted God. I doubted the existence of God. I wasn't around the intelligent people. I missed being around the intelligent people. To let me know that the world just, boof, came into existence. It's a bummer. My mother just said, God made it all. All right. Well, I believe he did. And then I read the Word of God, and that's exactly what it says. He worshiped mom and dad and grandma, grandpa. You get them little youngsters with you. Oh, what a wonderful thing you can do is to pray with them and kneel and teach them. Your knees might be bad, but you can teach them to do it. I'm almost done. Just hold on. The crock pot won't burn, and you're probably all going out to dinner anyways. But you got to see this. We go into chapter 2, and don't worry, I'm not covering all of chapter 2, but you got to just see this. So it doesn't end there. We see her faith and her character, and then we see her praise. It says, And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, and my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Oh, she's on fire for God. Now you got to get this. Let's consider the situation. She's just left the little guy, and they're heading home. They're heading home. And I don't know where this song started manifesting itself in her life. I don't know if she let it all out when she got home and got pen and paper, because I'm guessing she wrote it. And she wrote that down, or if she was doing it on the journey. But I'm here to tell you, that's the way you handle a separation when you give them into the Lord's hands. She praised the Lord. Well, that doesn't make sense. She can't hold him anymore. She can't rub his head anymore. Her time of training with him is over. He's just a little guy. She's only going to see him once a year. And I know there are people in this church who have lost children. They're with the Lord. And it's not easy. I don't want to identify with you, but I want to hurt with you. But I want to say this. Listen, God's still worthy of praise. It'll help your heart. He's still worthy of praise. They're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. And we're going to see him again. It's not over here. Listen, our relationships that we make here, especially those that know Christ, oh, they never end. We'll never say goodbye in glory. I think there's a song about that. And see, oh, she is rejoicing in the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Got one more thing. We're almost done. Almost done. So she has kept her promise, and God has blessed her. And now she goes home, and she's childless again, in a sense. But God has her child. Eli's taking care of her child. Her child, Lord willing, is going to grow up to be a great man. And he does. He does. And what happens? We come to chapter 2, verse 21. Verse 21, we're going to wrap it up right here. Verse 21, the Bible says this, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel was all right. I know, it says grew before the Lord. In the Greek, that means he's doing just fine. But in the meantime, she got 5 more kids. That's pretty good bargain there. She didn't lose Samuel. They're going to catch up. They've probably caught up in glory. But in the meantime, she got 5 more. She kept her promise. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. I want to share this. Quick stories. Oh, some 21 years ago, we had 2 couples in our church that couldn't have children. Couldn't have children. They didn't have enough sense. They went to the Lord and prayed and asked God to give them children. I remember we had a group of us praying together, and we prayed for a lot of things. We were praying for revival, but they were praying for children. Both these couples weren't able to have children. Well, God gave them more than one. I venture to say God gave them all they could handle. God gave them all they could handle. But for a good while they were married, they were unable to have children. They sought the Lord, and God honored it. God blessed them. He always does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Always, always. But the final thought there is, you and I can never outgive God. We can't do it. We can't outgive God with our money. We can't outgive God with our time. And we certainly can't outgive God when it comes to the lives of those we love. Oh, no, we can't. God wants you to know, you need hope? Lean on me. Lean on me. Lean on me. Don't quit leaning on me. And while you're waiting, I can change that sorrow, that sadness to joy. But keep leaning, keep leaning. Got to wrap it up. Lord, bless the message. Minister to our hearts. Thank you for the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit help us to be sensitive to your leadership. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, let me ask this very important question. If you are not 100% certain that heaven will be your home, I sure would like to pray for you. This morning you might say, Preacher, I'd like to be sure. I don't want to go to hell, but I am not sure I'll go to heaven. If you would slip your hand up high so I can see it, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone like that this morning that would say, Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. That's me. I'm just not sure. Pray for me. As I look around the congregation, is there anyone like that at this time? Say, that's me. All right. How many of you can say, I remember the day I got saved? I remember, boy, isn't that wonderful to be able to do that? Isn't that wonderful? Lord, bless the service. May the Spirit of God lead and guide us. Help us to be sensitive to your leadership. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother